I'm Jules McKenna.
Attention hernia mesh implant surgery patients. A popular hernia surgery product has been linked to a high rate of complications and injuries. If you or a loved one had a surgery where a hernia mesh was implanted and have experienced any of the following: pain, infection, adhesions, mesh migration or product rejection, needed replacement or revision surgery, or other adverse reactions, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Hernia mesh patch implants are used for repairing most common types of abdominal hernia, which occur when muscles or connective tissue in your abdomen are damaged or weakened. If you have had a hernia mesh implant and suffered an injury, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. Call for more information about the recall and a free consultation. Don't be a silent victim. Call 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410. 800-748-8410.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
It is Bucket Strategy Investing. We're back with more. Johnny Dean and Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Love to have you talk to us and get on board. Ask your money questions, whatever happens to be on your mind. Questions on finance, questions on strategy. Can you get there from here? What about some of these new investment products that you've heard about? Are you making mistakes in your retirement? What about your asset allocation? How's that going? And what about asset location? That's another thing that we're going to get into sometime, I think maybe this week, but talk once again about things like asset location and why it's important to designate which assets go where. It's not just a matter of knowing how much you have in small cap or mid cap or whatever you've decided to have, but where do you put those assets? And we'll be talking about some of that. If not today, then we'll get to it later, a little bit later on this week. I am Johnny Dean with Professor Rick Plum, and our phone lines are open for you right now. We've cleared them all, and we got room for you on the phones. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. You can send us an email or two. We'll get to some of those here in about 15 minutes or so. Toward the end of the program, wealthed.com is where you go for that. Wealthed.com. There's a link there in the corner that says Find Your Answer. And I mentioned that you can find your answer by doing either calling us or emailing us. You can also do so off the air. You can reach Professor Rick Plum at any time of the day, except when we're on the program. But any Lucia Capital Group advisor, they're all standing by, ready to talk to you at the off-air number, 800-644-1150. You've got a question, you want to make an appointment, you want to talk to an advisor, you want to get in-depth with your own retirement needs, with your own retirement goals. Everyone's got different goals, of course. Yours are unique to you. They require a unique strategy, a unique plan. So give them a call there at Lucia Capital Group. Talk with an advisor, make an appointment. Again, 800-644-1150 is the number, 800-644-1150. And again, on the air, I'll repeat this for you, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. I started to do this last week, and I'm going to finish it up today as much as I can. Some of these myths that can really mess up your retirement, and this comes out of CNBC. Tom Anderson sent this. A couple myths that we went over last week, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. One of them was that you have a magic number. That's a myth. No, you do not really have a magic number. And they talked about the 4% rule. Another myth that we brought up was that Medicare will cover all of your health in retirement. It's a myth. I mean, it sounds strange to hear that, but I think there are people who just really do believe that. That even as far as having, you know, long-term care taken care of.
Yeah, I think more and more people are realizing that. But Medicare is not free. Whether it's the premium you pay for Part B, C, or D, or the out-of-pockets that you pay for the co-insurance or the co-pays or whatever else. It's not free.
No, it's not. Another myth was that you cannot count on Social Security benefits. Well, yeah, you can. You certainly can. And I don't think anybody, even if, you know, that stupid idea of a trust fund somehow goes into the negative, that they're just going to stop paying you benefits. They're not going to do that. You'll still get benefits. Here's another myth. You will be able to work as long as you want. And I've heard this one.
A lot of people put as part of their planning process that they're just going to work until 67, 70, 72 years of age. I'll just work longer because I got a late start. I need to work a little bit longer. Unfortunately, it's not always a true issue. It may be out of your control. The job may not be there for an older individual, and or your health may not allow you to keep working, or the health of somebody near you who you need to be able to take care of. And we see this, we've seen this in studies quite a bit, where people have said they wanted to work, but very, I think it's like between 25 and 30% of the people that said they wanted to work later in life actually did. And it wasn't because they chose to retire, you know, well, they felt that. It was because they had to retire.
I have the EBRA, the latest, I guess. This might be last week. No, this was the latest one. EBRA Retirement Confidence Survey. More than half of people say they expect to work past age 65, but less than 15% of today's retirees kept working that long.
Right.
And that's a pretty accurate survey right there. Fewer than 15% of today's retirees kept working past age 65, whether it's because you were forced out.
And so how many of that 15% did it? I mean, I know a lot of people that are working at 65, 68, 70, and they're not doing it because they need the money. They're doing it because they just love getting out and doing what they do. So there's a lot of that 15% mm-hmm. that isn't working because they need to. So there's a large portion of that 85% that may have needed to keep working but couldn't. The 85% of the people that did retire at 65 or earlier.
Oh, sure. So to just come out and say, I've heard this as part of somebody's plan, too. I this was on the radio. This is quite some time ago. But somebody who, a caller, had called in this weekend radio show and was concerned that they might run out of money, and they were kind of trying to go back and forth. And then the host said, well, of course, you know, you always have the option because you're only 60. You can, instead of retire at 62, just work till you're 66 or 67. You're going to be perfectly fine. And I hear that, and I say, yeah, easy to say.
If... Now, the working, you might be able to find a place to work, but will it pay you enough to do what you need to do as far as earning money? That's a big issue. I know a lot of people that work, you know, they're marshals on golf courses. They do, you know, they're doing things that they just love to do. And they're not doing it for the money. They're just doing it because they want to get out and do things and maybe get cheap golf. But it's, you know, not everybody can go out and earn that $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, at any age, let alone trying to
you
know, sock up their retirement at the last minute.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, the companies are going to say, look, there's a 62-year-old guy here who's probably going to be gone at age 65.
So I got 3, 4, 5 years out of this one versus the 40-year-old that I got 20 years out of.
Who, by the way, I can probably pay maybe half as much, and they'll accept it.
But even if it's the same amount, do I want to hire an employee for 2, 3 years? Or do I want to hire an employee for 20 years? Especially depending upon how much I have to train them to get them into the position.
Yeah, it's kind of a cost-benefit analysis there. Okay, so that's a myth that you'll be able to work as long as you want. No, you will not. Again, 877-PLANNER, our number. We'll get some calls in just a bit. Here's a myth. You'll spend less and pay less in retirement, according to CNBC. Now,
so they're saying that that's a myth. So they're saying that you're going to spend the same or more in retirement as you did when you were working.
Here's what they say, and I'm not sure I agree with this. Spending can vary by 50% or more per year for retired households, according to research by this person who did this. I don't know who this was. Some startup. Taxes are another thorny issue, they said. And we don't know what tax rates will be in the future. You may qualify for fewer tax breaks, such as mortgage and college savings deductions in retirement, which means that you're... I don't know if that means that... I don't know how that affects your... Your pay, I mean, how about that affects your spending?
Well, it is spending. What I have witnessed over my short 30 years working in this industry is that most people actually, now it goes on two sides here. They're talking about spending, not what you were making pre-retirement. So somebody may be making $100,000 pre-retirement. They will need less than $100,000 in most cases mm-hmm. post-retirement. Now, what they were spending pre-retirement may be a whole different thing. Now, depending upon whether they continue with a mortgage or other things, a lot of times the spending actually, the physical dollars going out for you know, expenses goes down in retirement, at least later retirement. Sometimes early retirement, the expenses go up. So this is one of the hard parts about the transition from a working life to a retired life, is actually understanding what you're going to spend your money on. Because while you're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, you don't have the opportunity to spend the money so much as you will when you have some time on your hands. Now, some people understand what they're going to do, and they've already built in a reasonable number for what they're going to do. They've got a good idea. They've got enough vacation time. They know how to do things.
Yeah.
Other people have no idea what they're going to do in retirement. So spending-wise, and that the idea of spending could vary by 50%, a lot of that has to do with big-ticket items. some healthcare issues, usually happen later in life. But they would consider buying a car and the full amount of an expense. Mm-hmm. And that is an expense. And we have to take that into consideration. So when you're doing your strategy, you have to build in enough flexibility and to be able to do things that unfortunately come out of the blue.
And you know what a lot of spending projections and plans that put together some of these spending projections and inflation and all that stuff and try to give you maybe a 2, 3, 4% raise every year. I don't know what it is. Call it 2%. Per year raise, oftentimes that tends to overestimate how much you're actually going to be spending in retirement. And it can kind of mess you up from a planning standpoint.
Well, especially if they can do a constant inflation factor year in and year out.
Yeah.
From, 65 to 95. For the most part, with the exception of healthcare, which, again, usually hits hardest in the last couple of years, you don't have a just nice little geometric progression of 2% inflation every year, 3% inflation every year. It may go up a little bit at the beginning, or a lot at the beginning, but then it tends to taper off as you get older. Not that inflation goes down. It's just that the number of items that you're buying tends to go down. Now, I'm not talking about the difference between 65 and 69, 60, 70 years of age. I'm talking about the difference between 70 and 80, 75 and 85, 90 even. Gentleman, sure. I know his father just turned 101 the other day.
Hmm.
You know how much that gentleman is spending on an annual basis?
I was going to say
nothing.
I was going to say not much.
I mean, he still lives at home. He's got some care that comes in, but he doesn't have a mortgage. His property taxes are nothing. He doesn't eat very much.
Probably doesn't play a lot of golf.
He doesn't go shopping.
No.
I think he's still wearing the clothes that he bought in the 80s.
Probably is, or in the 60s for that matter. His biggest expense is Denny's. I would assume.
If he can get there. The healthcare is a business expense.
Sure.
But even that total is less than what he used to pay when he was an active, vacationing, traveling person.
877 Planner, coming back with more Bucket Strategy Investing.
Every investor has their own unique financial fingerprint, each with their own unique concerns.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
At Lucia Capital Group, we hear your biggest concerns.
Taxes in retirement. Taxes are already biting us pretty good.
Retirement in today's economy can be overwhelming.
Most of my 401k is in a high-risk investment. I'm concerned about that.
If you're worried about outliving your money, the unpredictability of the stock market, or risks associated with inflation, call Lucia Capital Group for a complimentary plan review. Learn how the Bucket Strategy is designed to provide opportunities for diversification and investment options in a low interest rate environment. Schedule a consultation at no cost by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com, luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
How do you know if there's more you can add to your investment strategy?
How do you know if there's more you can do?
How do you know?
How do you know how you can manage risk?
How do you know if insurance fits in your strategy?
How do you know what other investments are available?
How do you know?
Where do you go?
Where do you go?
Where do you turn to learn about financial planning? Where can you access the information that may help you make informed decisions about investing? Lucia Capital Group has an online resource with original programming, on-demand videos, and informative articles all designed to educate you about creating a strategy for your financial future. It's WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, not just a website, an archive of financial topics that could answer some of your most fundamental questions.
How do you know? Where do you go?
Go to WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com, a service of Lucia Capital Group, an online financial education center. Learn more. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. Bible, now available in Montana. Call 855-90-BIBLE.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain.
This is the best of the Bucket Strategy Investing Program. Oh.
You broke my wheel. 877 Planner. Goodness gracious. Johnny D. Professor Rick Wall. 877-PLA-NNER. We have room on the phones for you if you got questions on anything at all. Emails at our website, wealthed.com. And we'd love to hear from you, as we did from, let's see, I have a couple here. David in Sonoma, California. This was two separate emails, but I'll combine them into one. I'm 64, working, not drawing Social Security. My benefit at 66 will be $1,800. So at age 64... Benefit at age 66 will be $1,800. My girlfriend is 66 and drawing $400 a month. David wants to know, if we got married, could she stop her benefits and draw a spousal benefit right away? And then the second email just kind of asked, how much would that be if that's the case?
Now, he said he was working, right?
Working, but not drawing Social Security at age 64.
Well, a couple of things are going to go against you in this. First off, for her to receive a spousal benefit, obviously, you have to be married, but you have to be receiving your benefit. So if you want to keep working, and I'm assuming you're making more than $17,000+ a year, you're not going to be eligible for all of your benefit, and maybe not any of your benefit, until you get to at least age 66, unless you quit working. On the other side, to be able to be eligible for a spousal benefit, yes, you have to be married, and you have to be married for at least a year before a spousal benefit can be paid out to the current spouse. So for her to receive a spousal benefit, it'll be at least a year, and maybe more, unless you quit working. So if you wanted to quit in a year, get married now, keep working for a year, then you apply first. Now, do you want to apply for yours at 65? Do you want to retire at 65? These are all questions, because she's not eligible for a benefit until you've been married at least a year, and until you have started and applied for your benefit. So once you've been married for a year and once you've applied for your benefit, she's then eligible for a spousal retirement benefit. How much would it be? Well, it depends on what age she was when she took her benefit, but it's going to be around $500 or so, give or take, maybe $450. But it'll be, it'll double what she's getting.
Yeah, but of course, at no time that I remember could you ever get a spousal benefit. Could somebody take a spousal benefit from your work record without you having at least applied for yours first?
And you can't apply if you're making a lot of money and you're not full retirement age.
No. Well, you could apply, but you won't get anything.
And then your spouse won't get anything either.
Your spouse won't get anything because, once again, we talked about that earnings test.
The earnings limitations.
If you happen to be under full retirement age and you're making more than, call it, 17 grand this year, they start to take away your Social Security. And when they start to take away your Social Security, eventually, well, as it starts to scale down for the person who's receiving it, Professor Plum, that means it scales down at the same rate for somebody who's taking a spousal benefit.
Yes, if the person whose work record is being used is being hit by the earnings limitations, anybody drawing on that work record is also hit by the earnings limitations. And so it will affect them.
Yeah. Now, so if it reduces $2 for every
$1
for every $2 Does it also reduce the spousal benefit by the same amount?
I'd have to look up whether it's proportional or it's a dollar for dollar. Dollar for dollar would obviously be worse.
Well, of course it would be worse because it's obviously no
a
more
smaller
than
benefit.
Half. Exactly. So a dollar for dollar would mean that your reduction is even greater. I have a feeling it's probably not. But anyway, yeah, it will be reduced. Okay, let's see if we have this one here. Jay in Portland, I know you like the value averaging technique for accumulating equity investments. Is value averaging a wise strategy for investing in debt securities? First of all, let's explain what he's talking about here, Professor Plum.
Well, value averaging is the idea that you set certain parameters on your expectations, specifically in different types of investments. I expect my long-term growth portfolio to grow at X percent. 8, 9, 10, pick your number. And when it's significantly higher than that, you scrape the cream off the top. You basically take some of your profits and move it to someplace that's a little bit more conservative, less volatile. On the other side, if it's well under the expected return, that may be a signal to move some of the safe money that you don't need for some time into and buy in when it's low. So you're looking for reasons to buy in when the market's a lot lower than expected and to sell off when the market's a lot higher than expected. It's not market timing because we're not saying that the market's going to go down after you sell off. It could go up again, but it's just a matter of trying to build in some kind of a systematic way, especially once you're in retirement or close to retirement, to take profits when it's available more than what you expected, or maybe even signal a buying opportunity. That's a harder one to get people to do. As far as value averaging into debt securities are bonds, things of that nature. I'm not sure what he's asking. I mean, I want to have my strategy in place first. My strategy tells me how much I should have in debt securities. My strategy tells me how much I should have in low volatility, no volatility cash accounts, how much I should have in equities and stock equities and things of that nature. And then I work the strategy. When I'm much higher than expected or much lower than expected, mm-hmm. It tells me what to do. So if I have an allocation towards debt securities and I expect an X rate of return and it's significantly lower than that, first off, why is it lower? Should I still be in debt securities in the first place? So I have to evaluate whether I need to change my portfolio around just because of what's happening. But if it is, you know, a place where I should be and it's down significantly, I could use value averaging to buy into something like that because it's a lot lower than expected, right? That was kind of the game plan. When it's a lot lower than expected, we could use that as a buying opportunity. That's how you value average into something. That doesn't happen as much, though, as the equity side of life, the stock portfolios. They have the volatility more so than the debt side, although the debt side could, depending upon interest rates and or credit quality. And it's just a matter of managing your portfolio, managing your strategy to try to be as efficient and non-emotional as possible when we're doing it.
Yeah, and by non-emotional, meaning take the rational side and decide to sell when the securities or whatever debt instruments, in this case, the debt securities are higher in value than you expected, and to buy them theoretically when they are lower in value than you had expected.
Of course, they could go lower again.
Well, they could, which is where the whole emotional idea plays into this thing where you're saying, I'm probably doing it this the wrong time. Why would I sell something that's, you know, steadily going up? That's ridiculous, when actually, of course, it isn't ridiculous.
Well, would you rather sell it when it's going up or sell it when it's going down? Would I rather miss a couple points on the top or wait until it's down below what I could have been and sold it lower? Yeah, it's... You have to know yourself. You have to know how you're dealing with it. Some people say value averaging is not for them because they've built in an appropriate time horizon. They're just going to ignore it for 15 years. Fine. That works. As long as you got a long enough time horizon. I like the idea of value averaging, you know, just to be able to take a little off the top. Sometimes, though, it's hard to stick with it. If you did this in the 90s, market was up in 95, 96, 97, 98. 99. And if you were value averaging out of the exceptional performance we saw in each of those years, by about 98, 99, you're saying, well, this is stupid. I'm going all in 99. And then what happened in 2000? So you either start it and stick with it,
or
don't start it at all.
Right. Now you're going to have to find some other strategy to make sure that the emotions play out of this, because that's really what's killing you. Okay, thank you for that email, Jay. Taking a break. Got room on the phones for you right now. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Brain Trust from Lucia Capital Group. Coming back with more.
Recently, we talked to people at a Lucia Capital Group Retirement Strategies Workshop about concerns they have related to retirement.
I am concerned about another market crash.
I think inflation is always a concern.
How to make our money last.
Concern that I have is that I'm not going to have enough money for retirement.
Retirement in today's economy is one of America's greatest challenges, especially if you have to make decisions on your own, and you may live 30 years or more in retirement. If you're worried about outliving your money, inflation, and stock market volatility, discuss retirement strategies designed for these uncertain times. Get a written plan customized by an experienced retirement planning strategist. You can schedule a consultation with an advisor now by calling 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or click Contact Us at LuciaCap.com. That's LuciaCap.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk. Because financial needs and goals evolve as life goes on, you need an investment strategy that's adaptable over time. Since its inception, the Lucia Capital Group Bucket Strategy has been refined and enhanced to address many of your changing needs, creating additional opportunities for managing your long-term buckets, options to incorporate non-correlated investments, access to investments to help you manage the risk of outliving your money, and ways to invest for tax efficiency. The Bucket Strategy has a simple structure designed for your income needs today and the potential for growth tomorrow, and is fully customized for each investor. Find out how a Bucket Strategy can be created just for you, then adapted to align with your goals over time. Schedule a complimentary consultation at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or go to LuciaCap.com, LuciaCap.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group and affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
After a rough day on the range, a feller can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Here's George Foreman with InventHealth.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Listening to the best of the Bucket Strategy Investing Show. Here to the top of the hour, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Some more emails coming up here in just a bit. Oh, and I was reading these myths, Professor Plum, that can really mess up your retirement earlier. Like you'll spend less and pay less in retirement. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know about that. You'll be able to work as long as you want. Yeah, that's certainly a myth. This last one, which I missed, is that you'll live in the same place through retirement. That's a myth. You'll live in the same place through retirement. They say most retirees would prefer to stay put. Nearly 90% of older Americans want to age in place, and 80% said they believe their current residence is where they'll always live, according to research by the National Conference of State Legislatures and the AARP Public Policy Institute. This, however, is not the case. Most seniors move away sometime before the end of life.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that.
I wouldn't say that.
I've seen it go both sides of that.
I'm not sure I'd say that the same, you know, that everybody moves away. They did say most. But the fact that you assume that you're going to live in the same place through retirement just may not be the case. I mean, you might say that when you're in your 60s or 70s and you still got a lot of spunk left in you.
But even in your 80s and 90s, I've seen people say they don't want to move. I mean, obviously, one of the reasons they don't want to move is because they don't want to go through all the stuff that's accumulated in the house over the years, especially after somebody's passed away, and they just don't want to deal with it emotionally. They'll leave it to the heirs to go through the house.
Exactly.
After they're gone.
Exactly.
I've seen heirs that dread that as well.
Anyway, so that's one of the myths. Okay, 877-PLANNER and emails at our website, wealthed.com. I want to get to Jerry in Tigard, Oregon here, who says, here's the situation. Single person, owned a home for 30 years, converted it to a rental a few years back. Considering the sale, the only way the $250,000 write-off still applies is if the home was lived in for 20 of previous 60 months. Is that correct?
Yes.
How would the basis upon sale work, assuming a $250,000 write-off applies, and assuming they sell in time, and assuming they don't? Does the pro rata apply here at all? Okay, we need to back up for a second, Professor Plum. Let's explain what he's talking about on this $250. It's really an exclusion, not a write-off.
Right. He's looking at selling a property that he's owned for a long time. I think he said 30 years. Now, that actually plays into his advantage here. But it's been something other than a primary residence for some years. And he doesn't tell us exactly how many. He said it was turned into a rental a few years back. So the question is, will he be able to sell it as a primary residence? The exclusion he's talking about is when you sell a property that you use as your primary residence that previously you owned when it wasn't your primary residence. So the question then becomes, is he going to be able to sell it as a primary residence? It's interesting. Time after, if he owned it for 28 years as his primary residence, and then he's rented it out for the last 2 years, that's not going to be a problem. No proration, no exclusion involved. But if he's gone past the three-year mark, where he can no longer say, I lived in it 24 of the last 60 months, and he wants to get some of that gain that he's accumulated tax-free, excluded, so he wants to move back into it and reestablish it as a primary residence. Now, because the primary residence time that he's using is after the non-primary residence use time, he's going to have to do some proration of the gain. Not the exclusion ratio. Of the gain, not the exclusion, excuse me, not the exclusion, but of the gain. So let's say he used it as he's past the three-year mark, he moves back into it for 2 years. So now he's owned it for 32 years. And the question is, how many years was it not a rental? Not a primary residence. Specifically, how many years was it not a primary residence after 2008? So let's say he rented it for 4 years. So he rented it for 4 years, but he's owned it for 32 years. So 4/32, what is that, 1/8? 1/8 of whatever gain he has will not be excludable. Now, if he's got $1 million worth of gain, big deal. He'll still get his $250,000, $500,000. But if he's only got $200,000 of gain in the property, or $250,000 of gain in the property, what's 1/8 of 250? 37.5? Or not that. Some of that gain will not be excludable, but the majority will be. The reason the majority is because he's owned it for 30 years, and a lot of those years were prior to 2008, and it's a weird law. They only count non-primary residence use time after 2008. So it's one of those things. Now, if he sells it now and he hasn't lived in it 24 of the last 60 months, 100% of the gain will be taxable. If he cannot show it as his primary residence, none of the gain will be excluded. It'll all be taxable. So he may have owned it for 30 years, and it was his primary residence for 26 of those years. Mm-hmm. And now he's looking to sell it, but he cannot say that he's lived in it as his primary residence for 24 of the last 60 months. He's been out of it for 4 years. Even though 4 out of 30-some years is the rental time, doesn't matter at this point because it's not being sold as his primary residence. So it has to do with when, how long, when was it your primary, when was it not your primary, was it before or after? There's a couple of questions here we don't have answers to.
Well, you just go back the last 5 years. You go say, what is today? I'm going to go back 5 years from now. Now I'm going to look at the calendar and decide, find out which days I actually lived in it and owned it as my primary residence. And if you can't fit 24 months out of those previous 60,
residence.
Then the exclusion
Doesn't apply.
Doesn't apply in your case.
You don't get any. Got nothing. You get to pay tax on it all.
So what you have to do...
All gain.
Well, yeah. What you have to... It could be significant. I don't know. What you have to do, I suppose, is either sell it and pay the taxes, or if you don't want to do that, kick the renters out and move back in.
Move back into it. And so whether you want to move back into it for 2 more years really has a lot to do with when did you buy the property. If I bought the property in 2008 and it was a rental for most of the time up till this point, I'm not going to get much of an exclusion if I move into it for 2 years. But the longer I've owned that property, specifically back before 2008, 2009, the more advantage I get for selling it as a primary residence. Why? Because that's the way they wrote the law. The only time that works against you that it was a non-primary residence use is after 2008. But they still use the entire ownership period of time.
So maybe if you've owned it for 30 years, it makes that number that much larger.
But like I said, if he can't qualify as a primary residence today, he'll pay. Let's say he has $250,000 a gain. He'll pay tax on the whole $250,000 a gain. Mm-hmm. If he moves into it for 2 years, he'll only pay tax on 1/8 of $250,000 of gain. A much lower number.
Which is, I don't remember.
Yeah, I didn't do the math.
I can't do the, well 1/8 is 0.125, right? So it's for 100,000, it's 12,500. No, it's not. It's 1,250 because it's 0.125. All right, you're going to do the math.
31,250. I said 37, but I knew that wasn't right. But it's
so what he would do is wind up paying taxes on $3,100, assuming that these are all using exact numbers.
So it saves the tax. What state was he calling from?
Oregon.
See, Oregon has got a nasty little tax on it. So let's say he's in the 15% income tax bracket.
Yeah, you're talking about federal income tax bracket?
Let's say,
state?
The 25% federal bracket. He's got another 9% state.
Yeah.
So that would save him 33%. 0.33. It's saving like $60,000, $70,000 in taxes by moving back into it.
Yeah.
Assuming he can't qualify for the 24 out of 60 right now. And if he can qualify for the 24 out of 60 right now, but maybe he's bumping up onto the, I'm getting close to the point of time, and if somebody offers you $1,000 less, you may want to take it because you go past that 36-month out of the property time, you lose the exemption.
Or kick the renters out immediately, move into it immediately, and that way you're not really losing anything.
But it all has to do with when did he turn it into a rental. If he turned it into a rental within the last 3 years, get it sold now, because there's no exemption. There's no exclusion.
They've really, once again, Congress has really made this more difficult than it needs to be. Certainly more than it used to be.
Complicated the heck out of it.
Because now, I mean, beforehand, yes. If you did not live in it for 20, as your primary residence and own it for 24 out of the last 60, the simple solution was to
move back in.
And all you had to do was move back in so that you satisfied the two out of the last five rules, and then you could sell the entire thing. For, in this case, $250,000, get the whole exemption.
Wait, they didn't do any of this non-primary residence use time post-2008 as a percentage of the overall ownership time gets, and that portion of the gain is not excludable. What the heck? Boy, that's convoluted.
It is convoluted. And they changed that, when was that again? Like
2008.
2008, yeah. They made it a whole lot, once again... We had a great planning techniques.
We had tax simplification.
We really did, didn't we? And it made it a whole lot easier. Say, oh, what? You got three rental properties. You've owned it for a long time. Heck, move into the first one. Live in it for 2 years. Sell it as your primary residence.
Congress talks about tax simplification, but they don't like it.
They don't like it. Well, nobody likes it, frankly, because it doesn't give you a chance to sort of, you know, play the system.
We didn't have to play the system when it was simple in this case. The system actually worked for us.
Not in this case, yes. The income tax system was still sort of complicated. Okay, got to take a break, and we got room on the phones for you if you want to give us a call. Not a lot of time to do so. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Coming right back with more. Don't go away.
Set it and forget it. Out of sight, out of mind. Hands off. For many investors, that's how they perceive their 401k plans. Even when they leave their jobs, they leave their 401k investments untouched. Is there more you can do for your retirement with some hands-on guidance supported by a strategy? Learn the options and potentially the advantages. Schedule a rollover review with Lucia Capital Group. Learn how easy it is to take control of your retirement by rolling a 401k into a buckets portfolio. The retirement planning advisors at Lucia Capital Group work directly with each client to develop a strategy geared to their goals. Learn how you may be able to diversify your retirement plan. Take a closer look at the fees you may be paying with an old 401k that's out of sight, out of mind. Call Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or visit luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services.
At Lucia Capital Group, we believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education: learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice: get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning: choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC, and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. Bible, now available in Montana. Call 855-90-BIBLE.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is the best of the Bucket Strategy Investing Program.
Bucket Strategy Investing, that's who, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER. Write that down. We're going to take your calls here in just a second. I want to remind you that coming up on this program tomorrow, this is something we have not talked about in a long time, Professor Plum. And by tomorrow, I mean in the first hour of the program. I know some of you watching, listening at this time don't necessarily hear us in the watch or see us in the first hour, but this is what we'll talk about. And you can always catch it at wealthed.com or BizTV. The idea of marriage later in life. Marriage later in life. Now, we're not going to give any marriage counseling advice. We're not going to tell you you should get married or you shouldn't. But if you're getting married, maybe for a second time or the first time, usually later in life, if you're, and by that I mean, you know, 50s, 60s, it's oftentimes a second marriage or third or whatever it happens to be, and there are kids involved in many cases as well. And so what do you have to consider? This is important stuff. Social Security, what about that? How do you decide that? You have ex-spouse Social Security. Okay, well, how do you deal with that? What about estate planning? You know, a new spouse has some kids of their own, and I don't want to ace my kids out of this, once if I happen to go ahead of time. All this stuff that you need to plan for, marriage later in life. 401k distributions. Does your previous spouse, are they the designated beneficiary of your 401k? Do you have to change anything? Do you want to change anything? Anyway, all this stuff. We'll talk about this tomorrow on this program. Some great topics, not just tomorrow, but for the rest of the week. Okay, we'll get some trivia if we have time, but I want to get back to the phone lines. Again, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. That would put Elliot next in Palm Springs, California. Hi, Elliot.
Hi. I was listening to your question about the rental house, and I'm a little confused. I have a rental house from 2008. But okay. I was planning on moving back in. So you're saying if I move back in, I'm only going to get a percentage of the gain excluded, right?
Correct. Well, what's your situation? You said you've owned, or it's been a rental since 2008?
Well, 2013, that's when I bought it.
So you bought it
in a rental
in 13.
There, I was either going to do a 1031 exchange, although I was trying to get the cash, so I thought if I move back in, I can exclude it after I live in it for 2 years. But you're saying I have to only exclude a percentage of it, right?
Right. So what did you pay for it in 2013?
$585.
Okay. And what's it worth now?
$750.
$750. So it's gone up very nicely. You got $165,000.
Right.
So you were thinking that maybe you'd move back into it for two more years, and let's just make life easy. So let's say that after 2 years, it's worth $785. So right. Net of selling expenses, there's a $200,000 gain there.
Correct.
$200,000 is less than the $250,000 exclusion. So you were thinking that, wow, I can get the majority of, I can get all that gain excluded, right?
Yeah, I thought so, but maybe not.
Maybe not is correct. It's not going to work that way. So what they're going to look at, let's assume you bought it January 1st, 2013. You owned it for 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. So let's say you owned it for 7 years before you were able to live in it for the two. So the reality is it's been a non-primary residence for 5 of the 7 years that you owned it.
Yeah, that's right. Or 4.5 or something like that, whatever it is.
Well, let's just say it's 5 out of 7. Let's make the math a little bit. So 70...
So I'm going to lose most of my exclusion, so...
Well, no, you could... If the gain was $1 million, you could still use the exclusion, but the problem is 71% of the gain. So $142,000 of the gain is not excludable.
Okay.
The other $68,000 could be excluded because it was a primary residence.
Okay, so I better think of something else, like maybe 1031 and borrow money somewhere else, sounds like.
That's what it is, yeah. So, unfortunately...
Okay, well, you educated me. I read the tax law wrong or heard it incorrectly.
Well, yeah, well, but it used to work just like you said.
Yeah, it's easy to do, too, and it works exactly like you just said, Elliot, and that was when it was a whole lot simpler. We were kind of bemoaning that fact before the break.
Right, and publication... Go ahead.
But I could do a 1031, sell it, have another rental, and then after a year move into that as a primary residence, something like that, right?
Well, you could, but all you're doing is extending, because they're going to look back at the entire ownership period of this, you know, rental, you know, they're going to look at both ownership periods of both properties.
Sure.
Now, anytime you do a 1031 exchange into a new investment property and then move into that property, you do have to have 5 years between the time you bought this property and the time you sell it as a primary residence to be able to avail yourself to the exclusion.
Okay, I got that. But isn't there supposed to be a gap between time? Like, doesn't it supposed to be rented for a year before you can move into it?
There's no specific number, but they want to see it on a couple of tax returns, because otherwise you're not really 1031 exchanging it, you know, from one investment property to another investment property.
Your intention was to get into a primary.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to show that your intention was to be a rental.
Okay. So therefore, you want it, the new one you want on your tax return of a couple of years is a rental.
Yeah, you want 2 or 3 years tax returns under your belt to show it as a rental.
Yeah, just to be safe.
Then one morning you wake up, you have an epiphany, and you say, wow, I really love that house. I want to live in it. Kick them out.
Okay. Otherwise, they're going to call you doing something.
They may say it was a step transaction. They may say it was an invalid 1031. It's probably pretty difficult to get caught. I don't know about that aspect of it, but I'm just telling you what the rules say.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Elliot. All right. Take care. Once again, it's become a lot more difficult. There's more math involved. It's not just a simple matter of renting out a house and moving it in and moving back into it for 2 years and then having everything work out just great.
You can't exclude all the gain. I mean, he's got almost $200,000 of gain. Now, under the old rules, he could just move into it for 2 years. Now, any depreciation you took as a rental's got to come back. But the gain would be primary residence gain. He wouldn't have to pay it. Now, based on the numbers he's showing, he's probably got about $150,000 of gain.
Yeah.
The majority of it is not excludable gain.
And what he's talking about doing now is, well, I don't want to mess with that, so what if I just do what's called a 1031 exchange into another property, which would give him sort of a fresh ownership period of time.
And maybe that 1031 exchange goes into a new investment property that he really likes and might want to live in someday.
You never know.
Not to turn it into a primary residence and sell, but maybe that would be his, you know, retirement house.
Yeah, right, sure. But then after just a couple of years of renting it, you say, I want to move into it now.
He realizes that is such a good
house. You know, it's just such a dance you got to do.
Yes.
You know, it's unfortunate, but in order to quote-unquote play by the rules, which you have to do, that's what they accept. If you have a couple of tax returns, then at least that's been our experience. That's what they accept. Don't take that as, you know, gospel truth. But that's what they have done in the past. Okay, we're out of time. You need the brain trust. You want to talk to Professor Rick Plum off the air, the number at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Plum, I am Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.